Today's reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This is on page 1094 of the Church Bibles. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Good evening. Should we have taken that one out before the service started? We should have put the sermon slides in as well, which is a little bit of a shame. That's all right. It's not a problem. We will carry on regardless. Yeah, but these people have imaginations. They can just imagine beautiful slides, and they'll probably be much better than the ones I actually prepared. So it'll all be absolutely fine. Is that good with you? Should we carry on? Good. Just for those of you who don't know, my name is Adam. A particularly warm welcome to you if this is your first time at St. Paul's. It's my first time too, because I've only been the vicar for 4 days, and it's a delight to be speaking to you this evening. For those of you who've heard that joke already, because you were here this morning, sorry, there's much more of that to come. The reason I chose this passage when I was told I could speak on anything I wanted today was because one of the things I really want to do over the next few weeks and months is really get to know St. Paul's Church, to get to know you guys, to get to know the area in which God has called us and placed us, the community around us, the people here. But I also want you guys to get to know me a little bit. And this is a passage which has been very important to me all my Christian life and during the ministry that I've been involved in. And it sums up so, in so many ways lots of things I believe that being a Christian and being a Christian community is all about. So I just wanted to take you through it quickly. I say quickly because normally I would teach this as a 10-week sermon series, and we're going to go the whole lot tonight. So no one had anywhere to go particularly soon, did they? No? Right, time starts now. There are three separate sections I want to look at, of varying lengths. The first one of those is, I think this passage tells us the characteristics of Christian discipleship. You see, it's very important to remember that to be a Christian, you don't actually have to do anything. Because God has already done everything for you. In the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, God has made it possible for you to come into relationship with him, to know his love, to receive his love. And all you and I need to do is to accept that love and that forgiveness. There's nothing we need to do to be Christians. However, if we want to grow in that relationship, as we'd have to, as with any relationship, we should expect to put some time in, to focus on the relationship, to grow in the relationship. And the same is true with our relationship with God. And this passage speaks of four ways in which we might do that. If you have a Bible in front of you, as they're not going to be on the screen, they're all found in verse 42. The first is the apostles' teaching. The second, fellowship. the third, breaking of bread, and the fourth, prayer. As I've been preparing this talk, I have been preparing a service of induction and institution as well. And I was a little embarrassingly surprised, because I hadn't paid attention to this bit of the service, but delighted on Wednesday at the service, when, as the archdeacon turned to the people of God present in the room to reaffirm their Christian faith, the first question he asked those present was this: will you devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer? These are four things which are essential to us in our relationship with God, in our discipleship, and in our growing as Christians, as followers of him. If the slides were there, at this point I'd flick onto a nice picture of a Bible. It'd be very stylish, and it'd say Apostles' Teaching across the top. Has everyone got that in their heads? It served no other purpose other than that, so we'll move back to the talk. Because the first thing that's important is the Bible. The Bible is important to us because it is the primary way in which God reveals himself to us today. If we're going to live Christian lives, if we're going to follow him, immersing ourselves in the Bible, in what it says, in how it leads us and teaches us, what it reveals to us, is essential. We are surrounded in all of life, whether it's at home or school or work, by different cultural influences, different things that would teach us the way in which we should react and understand the world. The Bible teaches us the way, reveals to us the way God, who created that world, encourages us to understand and react to the world. I was talking to a young person recently who really loves Greek myths and legends, all things about women with snakes coming out of their hairs and men with tridents and stuff like that. And he's got a compendium of all of these books and he loves to read them. And he said to me in an offhand comment, he said, "The thing is, the more I read these, the more I think they're true." You see, the things that we listen to in our lives, whether it's on television or radio, on the internet, in books that we read, these things influence us. And if we're going to stay rooted in the love and the knowledge of God, we need to remain rooted in the Bible. And that is why the apostles' teaching is important. That's why, whether it's listening or reading, preferably not watching, because I've never seen a particularly good film done of the Bible, but listening or reading is important. The second slide, which would have been of people having a lovely time, would have said, is the description helpful? Thank you. Correct answer. Would have said fellowship at the top. Now, fellowship's a funny word that mainly is only used in churches these days. And the people who translated the Bible actually aren't quite sure how to translate the word that they translate fellowship. It's a word in Greek called koinonia. And they translate it a few different ways depending on where they found it. And I think some of the other translations can be really helpful for us to understand what it means to devote ourselves to the fellowship. Because fellowship is also, can be translated as sharing or participating. And if we're going to devote ourselves to the fellowship, then we can participate and share in life with one another. Whether it's in the good times and the bad, in the joys or the sorrows, whether it's walking alongside people or just getting to know them better. One of the best examples, pictures of what it means to participate and share in life with one another, I think, is the picture that St. Paul gives us in his letter to the Corinthians. when he speaks of the body of Christ. Where one part hurts, then all is hurt. What matters to one matters to all. As well as being devoted to the Bible and knowing it and being in it, we need to be devoted to one another, of knowing one another and being with one another. The third slide, which would have had a beautiful picture of, I think I might be making Fiona feel bad, so I might rein in the what was on the slides jokes. Picture of bread, the breaking of bread. Worship is an essential part of Christian life. One of the things I was drawn to about this church was the way in which, despite the fact you worship at different times in different ways, you are one church. The way in which we choose to worship is different for each of us because we're all made and created individually by God. Some of us love loud music and flashing lights and drums. Some of us love peace and quiet and silence. Some of us, most of us, fall somewhere in between. But whatever pattern of worship you prefer, having a pattern of worship that helps you to remember the life and death, the resurrection and future hope of Jesus in your heart is essential. And finally, prayer. I always feel a bit of a fraud when I'm speaking on prayer. I feel my prayer life is inadequate. I always have done since I first became a Christian 20 years ago. One of my most frequently prayed prayers is the one from Luke 11, where the disciples turn to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And actually, when I think back on my 20-year journey with prayer, the one thing I am certain of is his faithfulness. It's the fact that actually he has been teaching me. He has been drawing me closer to him. And I want, I would encourage all of us, whether we feel confident in prayer or we feel inadequate, to just come before Jesus with honesty and openness and say, "Lord, teach me how to pray. Draw me closer to you." I love a quote on prayer, which says that Christian prayer is about climbing into the arms of our Heavenly Father. It's not about eloquent words. It's not about having the right things to say. Primarily, first of all, before we speak, it's about an attitude of the heart, about moving, stepping into that place of receiving the acceptance, the love, and the encouragement of our Heavenly Father. Characteristics of Christian discipleship: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. If we want to get to know our Lord better, if we want to follow him more closely, those are four things which we could do well to give our time to. And those things result in this passage and in Christian experience in many different things. And we're going to look at some of those now. And those I've titled Characteristics of the Christian Life. And it's worth saying before I go any further, one of the dangers we fall into as Christians is that rather than focusing on our Lord and the things that draw us closer to him, sometimes we make the characteristics of the Christian life, the things that flow out of our relationship with him, as the things we strive for, the things we set our hearts for. And actually we bypass him and we bypass the time we might spend with his people, the time we might spend in worship, prayer, and in the Bible. And we aim at these five things and more beyond. But I think we lose something critical if we take that shortcut. In this passage, there are I've listed five, which start basically at verse 43 and work their way down. The first is wonders and signs. The second is community. Generosity is the third. The fourth is thankfulness and praise. And the last in verse 47 is favor with others. I believe that God is a God of signs and wonders because I believe that God is a God who reveals himself. He always has been. He reveals himself in creation. He reveals himself in our relationships with one another. He reveals himself in his word. And he also reveals himself through signs and wonders. I believe in signs and wonders because the Bible tells me so. And because Jesus told his disciples to expect to see signs and wonders. When he sends out the 72 in Luke 10, he doesn't instruct them just to go and preach at people. He instructs them to heal the sick and to tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. The healing is a sign of the presence of the kingdom. As Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples just on the night that he was betrayed before his death, he said to them, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing and will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." We have the same Holy Spirit in us if we believe and trust in him that raised Christ from the grave. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. There's nothing he cannot do. And finally, after his resurrection, before Jesus' ascension, he turns to his disciples and said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And here we see that power and witness aren't two different things. They're not two opposite things. They're not mutually exclusive, but they go together. They receive the power in order to be witnesses. The second characteristic of the Christian life is community. As we devote ourselves to one another in participating and sharing in life with one another, what God grows out of that is love for one another. Genuine love and a desire for the other, for the best for the other. Christian community is one of the most attractive things about being a Christian. But again, just with signs and wonders. Often we can desire signs and wonders before we desire discipleship. Often we look for community before we look for discipleship. Thirdly, generosity. I think generosity is an underrated part of the Christian life. I think it's so sad that so often Christians are seen as the least generous people around. That has not been my and my family's experience of this church over the last 5 weeks. We have been blessed and delighted with the ways in which you've been generous to us with your hearts and with your time and with your resources. And I am thankful to God for your generosity. And I would love to see us all grow in our generosity to others, as we take time to spend with God, to know his love for us. I've done two harvest assemblies in the last week because that's my job and I love it. And confession number four of the day. I've If you've been at the other services, this bit's new. You add slides at the other service as well. Confession, I've always struggled with harvest because I'm like, why do we still do harvest in the 21st century? Nobody in London is a farmer. A few people are very diligent allotment keepers, but nobody's got up at 4 a.m. to milk their cow. Anyone get up at 4 a.m. to milk their cow? No, good, I'm safe on that point. But actually this year, God really spoke to me as I was trying to speak to 300 small children about the importance of thankfulness and generosity, of remembering to give thanks to him for all that he's given us, for all that he does in our lives. And part of that thankfulness being generous to others, paying it forward, passing it on, loving others as we have been loved, blessing others as we have been blessed. And may we do that more and more. In verse 46 and the beginning of 47, we see that community is a community characterized by joy, by thankfulness, and by praise. I don't think there's anything more to say on that, is there? I'd love us to grow. I'd love to grow myself as a person whose life is characterized by joy and thankfulness and praise. And that's not to say that everything is going to always be easy. Jesus doesn't promise us an easy or simple life, but he promises to be with us to the very end of the age. And actually, it's in that relationship with him and with the people he has put around us, with the fellowship, that can bring joy and thankfulness and praise out of any situation of life. And finally, favor with others. I would love St. Paul's to be a community that is gossiped about by other people. And I mean gossiped in a good way. I would love people who aren't part of this church to turn to others and say, oh yes, I interacted with St. Paul's and they were generous and kind. The joy they had, the praise they gave. I've, as I said, been delighted to do a number of school assemblies. And the first thing I did as vicar of St. Paul's was to have the school in from next door for their harvest on Thursday morning. And it was great to see the way in which the school gossiped about the church. The way in which the parents were encouraged to come and to join in the celebration. The way in which the staff were told about the relationship between the church and the school. And that's something that I'd love to see repeated again and again and again. People gossiping well about us. That, again, is not to say we won't face opposition or persecution. The early church, very shortly after this passage, we hear, have a terrible time at the hands of the Sanhedrin and at the hands of Saul. But actually, as far as it is up to us, our relationships with others should be good. So, those are the characteristics of Christian discipleship, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They bring forth the characteristics of the Christian life: signs and wonders, community, generosity, thankfulness and praise, and favor with others. And finally, the purpose of the church. And this is one of my favorite little passages in the Bible. The end of verse 47, where it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And one of the things I most love about that takes us back to remembering the order in which these things come. Because as I said, as I started, actually, we need to keep our eyes fixed on the fact that we don't become Christians. We don't receive forgiveness and mercy and grace. We don't come in relationship with God because of what we do. But it's because of his grace and his love. It's because of what he's done. We can grow in that relationship as we focus on the Bible, on sharing with one another, on worship and prayer. And we can see that relationship flourish into a life which shows fruit both in community and personally. But then it's the Lord that will add to our number those whom he is saving. People for whom his love and grace is already available, is already open, and for whom his arms are open wide. Amen.